All right, that was the Moose's and Marissa's musical mix master machine with Papa Umamau and Surfin' Bird. Could you tell them apart? Boy.
Doesn't that sound like it's been recorded as one tune?
It could be. Yeah. It sounds like typical college radio fare.
You can understand now why many stations are automated all night. They wanted to avoid this.
They don't want a guy like me on, even on the all-night show.
Five tunes at once, huh?
Well, wow. Not in that particular duet, but one time I started out with the five at one time.
Incredible.
Yeah. But putting, you know, five loaves of bread in an oven.
Mm. Other times when you got bored or inspired, you would do things like try to stop the Vietnam War by calling Ho Chi Minh.
Oh, yeah. I thought, gee, you know, if an all-night jock could bring peace to the world, it's certainly worth it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because everybody was saying, gee, we could hope to say no. You know, we won't send any more guys down the Ho Chi Minh Trail. And I thought, if we can get LBJ to say yay, we'll stop the bombing in the Haiphong Harbor. That's when I thought, well, what the heck, it might be worth it just to make a couple of phone calls to two guys to stop the war. Can a disc jockey do it? Well, we'll try, you know? So I had to go through England and India and everything, and then I finally got to, was a trunk line that got to Hanoi, and they said that Ho Chi Minh was out to lunch.
Oh, he was out to lunch.
Yeah. Literally.
Uh-huh,
yeah.
Uh-huh. That's about right, huh? Yeah, about 2 o'clock your time or whatever?
Yeah.
Sure, okay. And then other times, people would drop by and talk to you, and like we were talking about your being asked to MC the first dance concert with the Family Dog.
Family Dog. That's Chet Helms and the Family Dog.
And I guess what, Luria Castell, who is credited as one of the early members of the Family Dog, came by to KYA to talk to you about the scene, right? Did you understand what she was talking about?
Not really. They said they couldn't afford to pay me, but they wanted me to MC their first concert.
Uh-huh.
Which was a real surprise for me when I actually did it, because I knew that these people were a little strange, but I didn't know that they had attracted a lot of underground strangeness in other people.
The concert had, let's see now, Jefferson Airplane, The Charlatans, The Marbles, and The Great Society, which was Grace Slick's first band.
Right.
And on top of these four names, Russ the Moose Syracuse. I mean, you were hot stuff, according to the organizers of the scene, I guess.
Well, they thought I was.
Well, remember the time we had Bob Dylan up there?
Yeah, Tommy brought Bob Dylan's manager and Bob Dylan. Tommy said, hey, Bobby Newhart and Newhart. And Bob Dylan are in town, and if you want, you know, I know his manager pretty well. I can get Bob Newhart to bring Bobby Dylan up to your all-night show if you'd like. I said, sure, are you kidding?
Yeah, and he went for it.
And he went for it. He came up on the all-night show, and he had only made two appearances other than mine. One was Woo Woo Ginsburg in Boston, and the other was my all-night show. And then one day I thought, gee, you know, I ought to have a tape of that, so I'll ask the engineer if he still has it, you know?
Yeah.
He erased it.
Oh, that's too
bad. Erased it by mistake or something.
That would have been great.
Engineers and I don't get along, just like cats and I don't get along, you know.
Yeah, didn't you put Bob Dylan on the love line?
No, I didn't. He wasn't on the love line, but I had people call in to ask Bob Dylan any question, you know, that they wanted to ask, and they would ask him. But I noticed that Bob Dylan, a lot of people thought he was just a carefree poet, singing kind of guy with a banjo and a hole in the bottom of his shoe.
Mm-hmm.
But he was a real businessman because he wanted to look at the Billboard top 100.
Yeah.
And he said, where's my song going? You know, look at this. It's got a bullet on it. So he was very concerned about where his song was in relationship to the other.
Oh, yeah. He always wanted to make it. He always wanted to be a rock and roll star.
Oh, sure. A very ambitious guy.
Carrying a little briefcase and a rented Mustang.
Right. Modeling himself after Woody Guthrie and other top singers of the time. Did you ask him if he knew Barbara Streisand? Looking for a little connection?
No, but I did ask him why he brought those, what was that, a bag of
he had a bag of
sardines
dried fish with him.
Dried sardines or something, you know.
Mm. I think they were smoking them, though. They weren't,
probably.
Maybe he heard you were hungry, that you were losing fuel. Maybe that was it.
Right. But he was a nice guy, you know. He wasn't obnoxious or anything.
And a good performer, a good singer, although I think that the Moose on occasion also showed his vocal abilities. Quite nicely.
Yeah, well.
Besides the horn playing, we have a stretch here of you actually singing a little bit for a contest promotion on KYA. Marissa, do you have that one ready? Yeah, let's hear Russ the Moose singing now.
May I sing just a little bit of a tender song that I've composed? I've written the words just so that they'll all fit for the new contest on KYA. And I'd like to, at this point, remind you that I've never done this before. So please, bear with me. Thank you for listening. My name as Russ the Moon sang. There's a new contest on KYA, a contest whereby you may win $1,000 every hour. Thanks so much for listening, and until tomorrow, the same to you.